I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show. My colleague and friend Michael Vlahos of Johns Hopkins is here, having illustrated for us how the elite of the 21st century, and we're talking about people who are so fabulously wealthy, their children's children's children cannot spend the money. That's how wealthy they are. And yet, is there a future there? Or are we looking at the end of the Republic and the transformation of the great success of the Redeemer Nation of 1945 into an empire that will be riven with disorder and alienation and, well, what looks like anarchy? Michael, I can't answer that question. I don't know that we're in a civil war. I do know now, having read over the last couple of days again the high points of the last 2,000 years, the men and women before us, Michael, have dealt with the same problem. Here's a fact that John loves, and Michael did when I told him the first time. During the Elizabethan era, this is the end of the 16th century, beginning of the 17th century, from the Spanish Armada until the King James Bible, somewhere in there. Not King James Bible, the James I of England. In that period, where Shakespeare was alive, he modeled the many of the Shakespearean plays on the Roman Civil War model. But I did not know that Shakespeare's plays were not the most popular of the age. The most popular play around the time of Elizabeth's death and the rise of King James I was Ben Jonson's The Catiline Conspiracy. That's what they cared about. Now, put that up against the fact that King James was a target of an assassination plot, which we all remember as Guy Fawkes. Remember the 5th of November. That was important to them. There's a case to be made that Shakespeare shaped a number of his plays, certainly Lear, certainly Julius Caesar, Antony and Cleopatra, and Macbeth, shaped it on the basis of regicide. Well, that was in the minds of all of them because they cared about the Roman model. Michael, this makes me happy. I don't know why. We're talking about the kind of backstabbing that brings down kingships, kingdoms. But it makes me happy to think that we're entering into the same search for analogies that work or examples that don't work that generation after generation for 2,000 years have searched when they reach this point of great question in a civilization. We're right at the same moment.
Well, I'm happy too, and I'm happy in part because it is a incontrovertible rebuke to the woke who tell us that all history has to be scrapped and everything that came before was evil patriarchy and white supremacy. And the fact is that the United States was built as an evocation of Rome. Rome was the model to our founders. And you can see this in the Capitol Dome, and Washington is presented as a member of the pantheon of Olympus, surrounded by other gods who represent the great virtues of American democracy and the Republic. And the founders understood this and were inspired by it, and later generations of Americans have followed on from that. This was a way in which Americans saw themselves in the time of Teddy Roosevelt. If you read The Education of Henry Adams, there are endless Roman analogies. And if you look at American architecture in the early period of the 20th century up through the 1930s, all the buildings in Washington are neoclassical. They're all like, if Romans built office buildings, what would they look like? They'd look like that. Plus, there's a Temple City, Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Monument, a giant stele right out of ancient Egypt. There is a sense of lineality, of connection, that is still alive. And the paradox, which you brought up earlier, was that, in effect, the new woke movement sees itself as a kind of inheritor of Roman virtue, of true Romanitas, as being the virtuous elect, and renewing and cleansing the corruption of America that they see, and building a kind of new Rome. And we have to remember, of course, the Romans were all about virtue. They were not, as Suetonius would have some of the early Caesars, a licentious and corrupt society, in essence. They were, in their own eyes, and also by their actions, driven by virtue. So virtue signaling may have been integral to Roman society, if not created by Romans.
What to watch for, Michael, and now that you've identified the elites who believe that they alone can direct our course of our city, of our divine city, Washington. They alone can tell us the direct course. What to watch for? Do the populares become more resentful? Do they become alienated? Do they abandon the polling box? Do they accede to the idea that the optimates are in charge and let them be corrupt? I'm going to tend my own garden.
Well, what I look at in history, and then what is, as it were, mirrored back to me in these elite cycles, is something like a sixth-generation rule of thumb. In other words, there's a historical passage that begins with the architects, the creators, and that is the generation that gives birth to the cycle, and that's followed by a builder generation, then an extender generation, then a manager generation, and finally to a petty place seeker generation that's just ambitious and wants to step in to the shoes of rule. And finally, by what I call a play-actor generation, who feel that they're born to rule and that this is all there for them. And that's the millennial generation today. The younger Americans who are stepping into these positions in government, where they feel they have such great power, have an attitude of, this was mine by right. I'm entitled to this, and I am now in charge. I mean, you see this in the unconscious body language of certain governors during the COVID experience, and the sense that, well, I am a Gretchen Whitmer, and you cannot buy plants at Home Depot. or Gavin Newsom, another great example, that only people who feel that entitled could feel equally entitled to revel at the French Laundry while others are losing their businesses, their restaurants, for example. It's quite clear that we're in the winding down phase. And, you know, it's also interesting that if you do a lineage from FDR, the founder, the architect of this leadership cycle, one of his pupils, a man that he personally sent off to China in World War II, Mike Mansfield, also became the mentor of Joe Biden. And yet it ends at Biden. Biden is two generations back, at least. And there is no follow-on. There's the ancestral lineage is clear from FDR to Biden, but there's nothing to follow. It's failed. It's selfish. It's narcissistic. And I think this is a tremendous aperture onto where we are in this cycle. And when we're in this kind of end game or latter generations, those generations are not just incapable, but the poor choices they make inevitably lead to debacle.
Right.
And certainly with China, I think that's where we're going right now.
Right. I don't want to get too gloomy tonight. Remember, Michael, forgetting is the best defense against civil war. Forget, Michael. Forget. Forget Germanicus. Caius and Germanicus will forget. Another cup of wine, Michael. Michael Vlahos, Johns Hopkins. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.